Everybody take your Bibles, please, and turn to Psalms. Psalms chapter 121. We're going to read the entire chapter. And so all 8 verses. When you find it, please stand in honor of God's word. It's 868 in the Rock of Ages Study Bible, 868, Psalms 121. We're going to sing all 8 verses. And so let's start in verse 1. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from an evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy goings out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the fact that you are our shield, you are our protection, you are our hope. Heavenly Father, you are everything, and we thank you so much for that. Heavenly Father, we pray that you meet with us this morning. Heavenly Father, I pray that you just use me, thy servant, for your will. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. We're the title of my sermon this morning is found in verse 1. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. So the title of the message is Head for the Hills. And, you know, when I was growing up, I used to love Westerns. Growing up out west, I was born in Montana and raised in Washington, and my dad always had wild stories about the west, and the Sunday school, the teens in the Sunday school class, he uses those to drive home biblical truths, but I remember hearing all kinds of, just in the lobby this morning, I was asking him, well, have you heard this story yet? No. Have you heard this story yet? No. And I'm like, where is he coming up with all these stories? And so, listen, when it comes down to it, I was always curious about the West and the way things used to be, but here is a little different Head for the Hills. And so, if we need help, this psalm is for us. And so, I don't know about you, but I think all of us need help. And just this morning, some of the guys in the lobby were telling me I really need help. So when it comes down to it, there's no other requirement for the readers of this psalm other than if you need help. And so when it comes down to it, I think we're all honest with ourselves. We all need help. And, you know, we all often need help. And, you know, here's the thing is, turn your Bibles to, John chapter 16. John chapter 16, it seems like we need help on a frequent basis. And you know, those that need help, a lot of times get it. But when we think that we can help ourselves, that's when we get ourselves into trouble. John chapter 16 and verse 33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. See, here's the thing is, in this world, there's going to be trouble. And it seems like the longer things go on, the more trouble is in the world. And so you look at, I tell you what, you look at the news, there's trouble everywhere, even the ones reporting the news. And so, but when it comes down to it, I tell you what, in 15 years of working on the ambulance, I learned that the last place you trust as a trusted source is the news. I don't know how many times I'd be on scene with the ambulance, and later on I'd watch the evening news and be like, man, where'd that happen? And then I see my picture across I'm walking across the screen, and I'm like, that doesn't even resemble what happened. But anyways, when it comes down to it, if that's the local news, I can't imagine what the national news is all about. But when it comes down to it, there's trouble in the world. And it seems like the world tends to focus on the trouble. And if we're not careful, we can get focused on that. But here's the thing is that, there's trouble everywhere. Sometimes people give us trouble. And sometimes we're the one causing trouble. And right, Brother Aaron? And so when it comes down to it, there's trouble everywhere. And, you know, I'll tell you what, sometimes it seems like our bodies are giving us trouble. And, I tell you what, God's been very good, but there's times where I go to get out of bed in the morning and my back just doesn't want to go along with the plan. And so, listen, it seems like the older we get, the more aches and pains we get. And it seems like it's harder and harder to do things. But you know what? There is trouble. And sometimes we bring trouble on ourselves. We either put our foot in our mouth or we do things that we find out we shouldn't have done, or say things that we shouldn't have done. But when it comes down to it, when trouble comes, and it will come. And I tell you what, if you don't have trouble, just wait. It's on its way. Brother Watson will be there soon. No, just joking. Anyways, but when it comes down to it, trouble will come. And when it does, head for the hills. You say, head for the hills. We're going to hide. No, because a lot of times, you know, back in the Westerns, you know, it was usually bank robbers or something. They robbed the bank. Head for the hills. Well, why? Because there was safety in the hills, so to speak. Well, listen, as Christians, we're not heading to the hills to hide. We're heading to the hills for different things. The first one is head to the hill called Sinai. Turn your Bibles to Exodus chapter 20. We're going to be in Exodus a little bit here for the next Genesis, Exodus, and chapter 20. It would be 119. And so here's the thing is we have here basically Moses on Mount Sinai. And God was giving, we see that in verse 1, God spake all these words saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt not have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. And it goes on. So we get commands from God in verse 13, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. And so here's the thing is we have Moses here. On Mount Sinai, and God's giving commands. And so here's the thing is when it comes down to it, Moses and God here have a pretty spectacular history. When you look at it, and you kind of turn back to chapter 3, we see in verse 2, we have Moses in the burning bush. And what a spectacular time that was. And I'll get there soon. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 2, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush was burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside and see this great sight. And so here's the thing, as we see Moses, he's a little curious at this bush that is being burned, that is not being consumed. And we see here that God has a mission for Moses. We see that God's people are in trouble. You notice the theme there? And so here's the thing is that God's people are in trouble, and God has a plan and a purpose for the life of Moses. And so here's the thing is the Bible says, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes, off thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. And God goes on and talks to Moses and says, certainly I will be with thee. And he goes on in verse 14, and God said to Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am that sent me. See, Moses was very an individual that came up with a lot of excuses. And I tell you what, it seems like you want excuses, ask a child to do something. You know, well, hey, why don't you put out the trash? Well, you know what? I'm sure the trash has dew on it. Too many times we can be like that for Moses. God has a plan and a purpose for us. Well, hey, listen, you know, I tell you what, so-and-so over there has a lot more abilities than I do. And I tell you what, Brother Tyner, I tell you what, he's just more zealous for God. Or, you know, and here's the thing is we can go around the room and just kind of think of other people who are more fitted. But here's the thing is when it comes down to it, God has a plan and a purpose for each one of our lives. And so here's the thing is God's plan involved Moses on rescuing his people because his people were in trouble. Basically, you know, when it comes down to it in chapter 4, kind of skipping on a little bit, Moses goes on and he says, here's the thing is I love this passage. Because God asks basically in verse 2, what is in thy hand? You know, I can just see, you know, Moses is standing there and what's in your hand? Nothing's in that hand. No, what's in your hand? Nothing's in that hand either. No, stupid. What's in your hand? Well, it's a rod. And I tell you what, and God says, hey, cast it down. And so he casts it down and it turns into a snake. Now, I don't know about you, but at that point in time, I would have been like the old cartoons, exit, stage left. And I do not like snakes. And so anyways, if you like snakes, good for you. And don't bring them into my house. They'll be dead snakes. And but listen, when it comes down to it, you know, what is in your hand? And so, and here's the thing is God is trying to show him, hey, Moses, listen, when it comes down to it, you know, God has the power to do anything he wants. And listen, if it's as simple as casting a down a rod and making a snake, or listen, later on he says, hey, listen, put your hand in to your bosom, and he pulls it out and there's leprosy. And here's the thing is, I talk about, I can't imagine if I put my hand in and pulled out leprosy, I'd freak out a little bit. And listen, when it comes down to it, God has the ability to do anything. And so God is trying to show Moses, hey, listen, when it comes down to it, I have a plan and a purpose. You know what? My people are in trouble. And you know what? I'm going to use you to help those people in trouble. You know, when it comes down to it, back when we seen in verse 14, when God says unto Moses, I am that I am. I am is a very sacred word to the Jews. I am is like a statement of power. It's a statement of deity. And here's the thing is that God knew that if he were to go to the children of Israel and says, I am has sent me, that meant something. And so listen, when it comes down to it, Moses was called to deliver his, and Moses was called to deliver God's people. We kind of flip over to chapter 8 and we see more. We see about how Pharaoh was, his heart was hardened to let the people of Israel go. And I tell you what, this is a fascinating passage, and I'm just kind of skimming through for a reason to prove a point. But we have here, and we see that God wanted Moses to charge into Pharaoh's office and say, let my people go. And you know, like I said in Sunday school, it's time. You know, here's the thing is, for many years we've been timid about sharing the gospel. We've been timid about standing for Christ. It is time for Christians to stand up and say, listen, when it comes down to it, you can be bold about your wickedness. If you can be bold about your perverted lifestyle, then you know what? I have the right to be bold about the things of God. I have a right to, you know what? The Bible says we're supposed to preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. It's time the Christians decided that, you know what? We get serious about serving God. We realize that, you know what? There are people lost and dying and going to hell. Here's the thing is the Bible says that if we die without Christ, we will split hell wide open. And that's why we need to be faithful in sharing the gospel, realizing that there's a God in heaven, there's a Christ that came down to a sin-sick earth, died on the cross for our sins, so that we can have a way of escape out of our sin. The Bible says we are dead in our trespasses and sins. And the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so listen, we see here Moses charging into Pharaoh, and we see here the plagues. I tell you what, you know, some of these plagues, It's amazing. We see the water to blood, and the frogs. The frogs was kind of interesting to me because, you know what, when Moses asked them, hey, would you like to take care of this? He's like, tomorrow. And by the way, I'll tell you what, that blows my mind. But, you know, I know Dallas likes frogs. He's weird. And anyways, but here's the thing is when it comes down to it, imagine frogs getting into everything and then frogs dying everywhere in the stench. And but here's the thing is when it comes down to it, it blows my mind tomorrow. Yeah, just go ahead and take care of it tomorrow. And by the way, too many times that's the way we as Christians are with our sin. I'll take care of it tomorrow. Hey, I'll get right with God tomorrow. Hey, listen, I know God wants to use me in a great way, but maybe tomorrow. You know, I remember working with teenagers, and it seemed like their common cry was, well, when I get to be an adult, I'll serve God then. And young people, when I get to be, you know, kind of a little in a better financial situation, I'll serve God then. Well, when I retire, I'll serve God then. And usually what happens is before then ever happens, it seems like we come fall prey to Satan's attacks. And but here's the thing: is we see that the frogs, the lice. Man, I tell you what, that you know that doesn't sound good. The flies. You know, here's the thing: is all that happened, and then we see the Passover. And by the way, the Passover was an awesome picture of salvation. When I see the blood, I will pay. You know, we sing the song, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. This was a picture of, you know, listen, when it comes down to it, a spotless lamb had to be applied to the doorposts for the Passover, for the Spirit to pass over that house. And so listen, when it comes down to it, if we want to be saved, we've got to have the blood of Jesus Christ applied to our lives. And so here's the thing is, when it comes down to it, we see here Moses bringing the plagues upon Pharaoh. We see Moses leading Israel through the Red Sea. And, you know, the thing about it is that I tell you what, I could take one of these stories and dwell on it all morning. It's just so much. But here's the thing is the fact that God was leading them. And, you know what? God, raise up your rod across the waters, and the waters split. And you know what? I love the fact how God was playing with Pharaoh's army a little bit. And chapter 14 and verse 25, the Bible talks about. Let's turn there. And chapter 14 and verse 25, and took off their chariot wheels and that they drave them heavily. Now here's the thing: is imagine this. You know, at that point in time, that God's against you. Here's the thing is, they're trying to go through the Red Sea following after the children of Israel. Pharaoh had changed his mind. And here's the thing is, you know what? At that point in time, I think they knew they were in trouble. They're going through the Red Sea and all of a sudden God just takes off their wheels. You know? And, I don't know about you, but cars don't drive very well with wheels. Neither do chariots. And so, but here's the thing is, God flooded them out. Why? God was doing all this for a reason. Here we have God on back to Moses on the mount with God. And Moses is receiving the law of God. Basically, the law declared God's holiness. But you know what? As we study this path, as we study the book of Exodus, we see a very holy God that cares about his people. That cares about a people who are in troubled times. And listen, when it comes down to it, we are no different. Listen, the same love that drove Christ to the cross is the same God that will help us in troubling times. Number two is we need to head to a hill called Calvary. See, this was the place that Christ died to satisfy that law. See, the thing about it is none of us can obey the law altogether. Just the fact that thou shalt have no other gods before me. Too many times we as Christians even, we put things ahead of God. Here's the thing is that you say, well, I don't put anything ahead of God. Has there ever been a time where something has kept us out of church other than illness? Maybe a party, maybe a whatever. Have we ever taken a vacation from God? Well, that is putting something before God. And I'll be honest with you, that's just one. Here's the thing is, none of us can say, well, I have put God first in every area of my life. I have never lied. Wait a minute. You know? And here's the thing is, when it comes down to it, the law demands justice. But this is where mercy and grace comes in, on a hill called Calvary. Where that law that was given had to be fulfilled. It had to have a perfect, spotless lamb, just like we've seen with the Passover. It required perfection. And you know what? I'm out. And if we're honest with ourselves, we're all out too. The thing about it is none of us are perfect. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. And so Jesus Christ left the glory and splendor of heaven to fulfill the law that was given on Mount Sinai. And so when it comes down to it, the Calvary is a place of love. It's a place of mercy and grace. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Calvary is a very, very special place to the Christian. Starting in verse 23, the Bible says, For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set before to be the propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. I tell you what, Calvary is where forgiveness flows freely. The Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But you know what? The thing about it is that Christ died for everyone. Let me tell you, there's not one in this room. You know, here's the thing is, there's been several times in my life where I've heard people say, well, you know what? I'm just too wicked of a sinner for Christ to save. It's not what the Word of God says. The Bible says that Christ died for all. And by the way, when it comes down to it, this hill of salvation and hope, you know what? Are you burdened with sin this morning? Do you long for assurance of heaven? Well, let me tell you, the Christ who died on the cross is the cure. And so listen, when it comes down to it, I'll be honest with you. You know what? It doesn't matter if we've been wounded by another person. It doesn't matter who we've been offended by. You know what? There's room at the cross. And by the way, for those of us that are saved, we should never get over the cross. Listen, we should go back to that time. Listen, I'll be honest with you. Too many times, you know what? I've seen it time and time again. We get saved. We get gloriously. You know what? When it comes down to it, you know what? My feet never have to touch hell. One day I'm going to see my Savior face to face. I'm going to walk on streets of gold. I'm going to be able to cast my crowns at Jesus' feet. Hey, listen, when it comes down to it, you know what? We shouldn't forget the excitement of being saved. Too many times we get saved, and you know what? We're all excited. We're all pumped. Up, we're ready to charge hell with a squirt gun. We're ready to do whatever Christ demands. And then you know what? It seems like after a while we start to cool down. Pastor, I believe, preached on being fired up. And so listen, when it comes down to it, you know what going back to the cross does? Going back to that cross reminds us of what we were saved from. Reminds us that, you know what? It's like my mother-in-law. She used to remind her kids all the time, you know what you deserve? Hell. And I tell you what, but here's the thing is, you know what? There's times that we need to be reminded of that. Too many times we walk around and we think, you know what? I'm all that in a bag of hot chips. And I tell you what, I've been saved for so long. Hey, listen, I've been saved for many years, but it's not of my doing. Hey, listen, when it comes down to it, it's the glory of the cross. We need to point other people to the cross. We need to not lose our excitement for being saved. Hey, listen, too many times we as Christians, we walk around with our lip dragging on the ground, and we want to sing the Nobody Likes Me song, and here's the thing is, we think that we're martyrs for Christ. Listen, when it comes down to it, we have done nothing to deserve heaven, but you know what? He loved us so much that he died on the cross for our sins, and that you know what? Hey, listen, I tell you what, the Bible says it is our reasonable service, and I tell you what, there's nothing I can do, just like there's nothing I can do to earn my way to heaven. I'll be honest with you, there's nothing that I can do for Christ that isn't my reasonable service. By the way, what's the opposite of reasonable? Unreasonable. When I want to live my life the way I want to live it, rather than the way he wants me to live it, that's unreasonable. We need to focus on the cross again. I tell you what's wrong with America is we're not focused on the cross. Here's the thing is, head for the hills. Head for the hills of Calvary. You say, I'm already saved. And you know what? I tell you what, there's been times where, you know what? I've just decided that, hey, I need to study the cross. I need to study everything that Christ did for me. Why? Because there's too many times where, you know what? I start to look inward and start to pity what's going on. And I need to look upward. I need to focus on the one who saved me. The one who loved me so much that they were willing to leave the glory and splendor of heaven. For a sinner? For me? Who am I? Why would he love me that much? I don't know. But you know what? I'm so glad he did. Because you know what? I'd be on my way to hell if it weren't for a loving Savior who loved an old worthless sinner such as I. We need to go back to the hills. You know what? Turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 9. The Bible says, "And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall baptize with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. From whence they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the season, which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. A hill called Olivet." This is a place where Christ ascended up into heaven. He rose just like he said. And by the way, he's coming again just like he said. And listen, when it comes down to it, we serve a living Savior. You know, here's the thing, is the disciples here were commissioned, just like we are commissioned. The Bible says, but ye shall receive power. To sit in the pews on Sunday morning? No. Ye shall receive power to hold a position in the church? No. Ye shall receive power, but after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. We need to go back to the hill that realizes that, you know what, we're here for a greater purpose. Yes, we're saved, and hopefully everybody under the sound of my voice, we're saved and we're on our way to heaven. If you don't know that for sure, you can take care of that this morning. But you know what? We as Christians, we've got to get back to that hill to realize we've been commissioned. We've been given power. And listen, we don't just have any message. We have the message. The message of salvation. And I tell you what, when it comes down to it, it's the same message that, you know what? I trusted Christ as just a little boy in West Richland, Washington, and my destination changed. You know what? I was on my way to hell, but you know what? Praise God. When I trusted Christ as my Lord and Savior, you know what? My destination changed. I was on my way to heaven. I'm a citizen of heaven. And you know what? This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Hey, listen, one day I'm going to walk on streets of gold. And I tell you what, that's enough to shout about. But listen, when it comes down to it, as long as we're here on this earth, hey, we need to realize that we're not commissioned to sit in a pew, although we're supposed to be faithful. We're not commissioned to just live a life. Listen, we are commissioned to go and to witness. And the Bible talks about, both in Jerusalem, our local area, and Judea, and in Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Hey, listen, this is why we support missionaries. Why? Because you know what? We can't be here in Bucyrus and be in the Philippines at the same time. We can't be here in Bucyrus and be in Australia at the same time. So listen, we commission missionaries and we pray for them. And why? Because listen, when it comes down to it, we have been commissioned to share the gospel. There are many people here in America that haven't heard. There are many people all around the world who haven't heard of the saving grace of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hey, listen, we are supposed to get back to sharing the gospel with other people, telling other people that we serve a risen Savior. I know I've heard the old illustration about how if a house next door was burning and we knew people were inside, what would we do? We'd go and beat on the door and cry and beat on the windows and try and get in, trying to get those people out, because we knew that, you know what, there was destruction in that house if they would stay in that house. But how selfish we would be if we knew that our neighbor or our family member or someone in our community or someone in another country was lost and dying and going to hell, and I knew about the Christ that could save them, and I kept my mouth shut. tell you what, imagine the selfishness of that. We've been commissioned. See, Christ is going to return one day. The Bible says that, you know what? For us to know the times or the hour, it's not for us to know. We don't know when Christ is coming back. You look at the Bible and you look at the times today, it seems like any day could be it. And you know what? Here's the thing is, even if Christ tarries for a few years, the Bible says our life is but a vapor. It appears for a little time and vanisheth away. What a sad thing it would be for it to be told at our funeral they wasted their life for God. Here's the thing is, would it be hard for the pastor to say nice things spiritually about us? Would he be scrambling for words? Or would it be, you know what, that individual, they gave their life. Tell you what, we just got a short life. We don't, you know what, and we don't know when Christ is going to return. And you know what, one day he's going to return to set up his kingdom. But listen, when it comes down to it, this morning, let me encourage you, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Let me encourage you to walk an old-fashioned altar, get a hold of something, get somebody's attention. We'd be glad to have someone share with you out of the Word of God how you can know 100% sure that you're on your way to heaven. But let me encourage you, if you just need help, you know what? God has help for us, each one of us. Just go back to Calvary. Remember the love of Christ. And listen, when it comes down to it, keep in mind that, you know what? This world, they're looking. I'll tell you what, why do you think there's so many drunken parties all the time? Why do you think drugs are so prevalent in America? Why do you think the prisons are full? Because there's a world that needs a Savior. We know the answer. We've been commissioned to go. The question is, are we going? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this lesson that we have here out of your word. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you just help us to, on a frequent basis, head to the hills. Help us to, if there's one here that's not saved, I pray that you help them to get saved and head to Calvary. But dear Heavenly Father, those of us that are saved, I pray that you help us to go back to Calvary to remember what you've done for us. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you just help us to look to you for our help, for our encouragement, for our strength. We thank you so much that you gave us such a shining example on how you cared for the children of Israel and you care for us. But dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you just help us to not be selfish in our relationship with you. But I pray that you help us to perform what is our reasonable service and realize that there's a lost and dying world that needs you. And help us to be used by you to reach it. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.